This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Welcome to another episode of the Conversations Brewing Podcast with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha, two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
It's a way for everybody else and has given people a voice. Like, thanks to people like Mindy Kaling, even the idea of us doing a podcast to me feels like attainable. Like, I feel like if we never saw this kind of representation and we never saw anyone having their voices like that, I don't know how realistic it would have been for this to even come to life, like both of us creating content.
Welcome back to another episode. I'm Ravisha and we have Divya here today as well.
Hello, we're here all to talk about some fun new things on Netflix.
Yeah, this episode's going to be a fun one because basically what we're going to talk about today is South Asian representation on streaming services now, especially Netflix, because I was telling Divya this earlier this week, but basically like I was finding something to watch on Netflix, and you know how you're usually shown like the top 10 things on Netflix to watch, and literally side by side were The Indian Matchmaker, the movie The Wedding Season, and the show Never Have I Ever on the top 10. And I was like, wow, this is so cool to see that three South Asian shows slash movies are like part of the top 10 on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And growing up, I feel like we really never saw something like that. And so I thought we could just in general talk about how we grown up with not seeing as much South Asian representation in like Hollywood, and kind of like how we dealt with that, and then also just talk about today how like it's like a complete opposite and we see so much of that more now.
Yeah, and I think it's so, I mean, it's so cool that we're able to see that now, because it's inspiring to any kind of creators, because it makes me think about like even this podcast, like how much of it has been like our own, I guess, comfort and confidence to do it, because we're seeing other South Asians putting themselves out there, because we like did not have that at all when we were growing up. And I know we're going to get into that more when we talk about stereotypes of what we saw, but honestly, like even when we did see any kind of like a South Asian person, it was usually like shed in a light that was not super favorable. Like, it's not like we were like, oh my God, that's so great, look at the South Asian person. They like portray them to be like super nerdy and unrelatable. And it was more like it wasn't relatable. And if anything, it was like more embarrassing. Like, you'd be like, that's not how the culture is. Like, why are you portraying it like that?
Exactly. Like, and it, like, they mainly were background characters, you know, not like the main character. So also then it made you feel like, oh, like Indian people can generally like not be included as main characters in Hollywood. And I definitely always like, I mean, some part of us, right, like growing up, like you think like, oh, like being an actor and actress is like so cool, like thinking how like there's directors and writers doing all that stuff. And like I really think that we didn't have that opportunity to really think that Indian people can be involved in Hollywood as much as they are now. Like, I know there's so many people that have broken that threshold, like, you know, Mindy Kaling, Hasan Minhaj, Aziz Ansari, but like for a while like we didn't see that. And that's why we're like, I want to discuss it a lot today, because I think it's such a big shift that we're seeing now. Like, you know, like everyone watches Never Have I Ever, you know, the show created by Mindy Kaling. And like, yeah, there's a lot of like Indian references to it, like culturally, but it's an accurate representation. But it's also just showing how like you can still relate, even though you're not Indian, to like watching the show.
Mm-hmm. And that people think it's, I mean, it's so hilarious and touches on so many different points. And it's really cool that like, in the next generations, like when we have kids, to them, it'll be normal to see them represented in the media. Like they won't ever look at a time where they would be watching TV and thinking that, oh, the people on TV don't look like me, because it was so prominent for us and we had noticed it. But it's so cool to think about how like they're not gonna experience that.
Yeah. And like a big thing for me too, I think like growing up is like, you know, you would see like with like the rom-com stuff that like, oh, the lead would be like falling in love with this guy and like vice versa and like that kind of like those kind of scenarios. And then like as an Indian kid growing up, you're like, wow, that's like so cool, but like that would never happen to me because, you know, I'm the brown kid. And
Yeah.
you know, like it's just like you we look at media as like some sort of like inspiration or influence all the time. And so when you're not seeing that like consistently, you know, you think that like that's like never gonna happen to you, or like especially like as a teenager, like a lot of these things impact you. So it's really cool to see that now.
And even if we're not consciously realizing it, it has such a big effect because representation is so important. I didn't realize, honestly, until like the older I got, how much it really impacted me that there was not representation. Because, like, you know, we're not able to kind of like verbalize it when we're younger and seeing that. But I mean, it impacts people to like look at things, and we just can't relate. And I remember even with like the thing I love about Never Have I Ever is even with things like with AB and like dating.
Yeah.
Their mom, like how she reacts. I'm like, okay, that feels relatable. Because when I would watch these like high school shows, like on Disney or whatever, we grew up watching Lizzie McGuire. I loved Lizzie McGuire, but it was just like, okay, that's not relatable. Like I couldn't be in eighth grade, like dating some guy, or my parents saw me kissing a guy in middle school. Oh my God, I would be like shipped to India. Like that does not happen. You're not allowed to do that.
So
So
true, yeah.
I would be like, this is not true.
You couldn't even really talk about dating like to your parents at that
No.
age, because like for us it was really like, oh, you're really not allowed to talk to any boys in like that kind of romantic way.
Yeah.
And so for us, like when we saw that, like, you know, High School Musical too, remember that? Like that was such a big influence on us.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, we're never gonna have a Troy because we're not allowed to date.
And
So
even when we were, I was like, now when you brought up this thing about, oh, well, I'm the Indian girl, like, I was like, I remember I was thinking, do like these white guys even like Indian girls? Like I
yeah.
didn't know. I like legitimately didn't know that, because in the media you never saw like a white person or anyone else who's not Indian with an Indian person. So it's like we almost like didn't think those possibilities were for us. But even if I did see someone like, oh, the captain of whatever, like basketball team, like whether or not it was like conscious to me, it the way I looked at that is like, oh, but why would he be with me? Like we didn't see that happening.
Exactly. And I'm so glad to finally be seeing that shift now. And, you know, like, even though Never Have I Ever, like, we keep mentioning it, the show, because I think it does have such a profound influence. But, like, you know, even though Never Have I Ever is like a high school based show, like, I'm still in my, like, mid to late 20s, like, watching it and, like, relating to it so much because, like, I do have, like, that stuff from growing up, feeling, like, so weird about being Indian and, like, navigating that all this because like, you know, our parents were like immigrants and they didn't grow up here, so there was a lot of stuff that we had to like figure out on our own with our friends. And so it's just like really nice to like watch something like that is so relatable and that you see is like so accurately represented.
Yeah. And I also love the with watching it, the like the friendships, how it shows like Davy and her little friend group of like four, I guess, like
Yeah.
plus Ben sometimes. If,
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm like, is Ben part of that friend group? I know it's like the other girls, but anyways, like that also has so much of diversity. Like I love that Anissa is also South Asian, but he has other friends who are not South Asian, and there's like you know, they come from so many different backgrounds, and even like, you know, like gender backgrounds, sexual orientation backgrounds, like there's so much that's there. And I appreciate also seeing that the conversation that Davy has with her own cultural background in her home there, because I was thinking about how, and she like tells her friends like, oh, there are aunties everywhere. She like
Yeah.
tells her, she like her, you know, he she calls her parents how they would. I remember growing up, like in front of my white friends, I would never want to call my parents. So I call my mom Amma and my dad Appa, which means like mom and dad and Dhammal. And I remember in front of my white friends, I would like never call them that. I remember one time I called my mom because I needed to address her. I was like, oh mom, and she's like, why are you calling me mom? And my friend who I said that in front of was like, what else would you call her? And I felt so stressed out, but it's so great to see on TV shows that they're having such open conversations, because it normalizes it even for like us, even as an older generation watching it.
Yeah, and like I just think back to like maybe a teenager watching that now, or like even like my cousin, she's like in high school, like I think gonna be a sophomore, like she's probably watching that now and thinking like, oh wow, like we're represented and like, you know, this is like relatable and like something I can actually, like, you know, like really like look at as like some sort of influence of like, oh, how things are in high school or something, you know, which is so like important for us, I think, because you need that. Like, that's what like media in itself is about sometimes, is like finding a way how it like relates to you in some form.
Yeah. Have you heard of anyone like else's reactions to Never Have I Ever, like in your friend circle or in your family? And like, what have people's reactions been?
I mean, anyone that I talk to about it with like absolutely loves the show. And I think even like with you, like when we talk about it, we're like freaking out about like the storylines and like what's going on. And like my roommate and I literally actually like binge watched that, the new season that just came out, in one night. And like literally like freaking out over like every episode and stuff. And it was like so nice to like honestly watch. And I was like, wow, this is like so great. And then like, have you watched the new season?
Yeah, I'm like episode 7 into it.
Yeah, so you're pretty far into it. Yeah. And like,
and I watched it so fast. Like, I started yesterday.
And like, even like the actress, like, I forgot her name. I know it starts with she wasn't like an actress, like, you know, auditioning for all these shows and then was like chosen for this role. Like, she specifically auditioned for this role, which is like so cool. She's that like
so good at it.
Yeah, like that's so cool how like out of like, I'm sure, millions of people that she got this role. And you know, like you see her like do it, like playing this character Davey, and like I'm like, wow, this is so neat to see.
Yeah. She does, and she is such a phenomenal actress. Like, she does, and I love that Mindy Kaling, even with her power in Hollywood, she is so big, and even as a producer, mm-hmm. and she really uses the power she has to highlight and amplify South Asian voices. So I think that, you know, it's really great to have people like her, because like those are the kind of people really that like paved the way for everybody else and has given people a voice. Like, thanks to people like Mindy Kaling, even the idea of us doing a podcast to me feels like attainable. Like, I feel like if we never saw this kind of representation and we never saw anyone having their voices like that, I don't know how realistic it would have been for this to even come to life, like both of us creating content.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I really do think like she is like such an inspiration to a lot of people. Like, you know, like from her like first start like on The Office and like her like writing for it at first, and then like being a character on there as well, like you're just like, oh my god, like that is so cool to see. And then watching her like be in her own show, The Mindy Kaling Show, which is also like so good. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure she knows in some capacity or form, but like she is like means so much, like I feel like our generation, because of like what she did. Like, she's broken so many barriers and like, you know, as leaps and bounds of like what she's done for us, like for South Asians and like the media. Like, I feel like a lot of people have followed her since, like, you know, people like Lily Singh as well. And so it's really cool to see. And like, I think the more and more we see the South Asian representation in like films and shows, like the more people then understand our culture as well. And it's not as like stereotyped as like how it used to be. Like, we like briefly mentioned before, but like most of the times, like in the, if you did see an Indian person on your screen, it was a stereotype version. Like, they were a cab driver, they were like the nerd, or like, you know, like a store manager, like something like that. And they always had like a thick Indian accent. And that's how like we were seen represented for so long in Hollywood. And, you know, then like it would affect us in our day-to-day lives, because like, you know, kids around us would like make like jokes or stuff like surrounding like things that they saw on TV. And for us, we'd be like, but that's not like everyone, you know, like that's not how like it is with everyone. Yeah, like there's a lot of immigrants that do come here and are like cab drivers and like store managers, and they like, and there's also people that like are nerds or whatever you could say, but that doesn't make us like that. You can't just classify us like as those things.
Yeah. And the way they would always portray it also made it like feel like a bad thing. It wasn't highlighted in a way that was like a character that was appealing. It was always like that
character. It was like a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke, or they were, you know, irritating, or, you know, they're just like that quintessential character to be making fun of. And I'm like, that's not representing us. And that also doesn't make me look at the screen and be like, wow, that's so cool. There's another South Asian person. I'm like, oh, this is so annoying. Or even like in my, and I know we both responded to upbringings and Indian culture in very different ways, which I think it's so cool that we can highlight those from our almost a kind of ish opposite ass points. But for me, that like made me like embarrassed. Like I was like, oh my God, like this is this how society looks at Indians? Like, okay, I'm not an Indian. Like when it's like, yeah. Nobody here.
No, and like that makes sense, right? Because like on the other end, like growing up, like because I didn't see ourselves like South Asians in Hollywood movies and shows, like I was like, well, there's like so much I can't relate to here. So like my family was really big on watching Bollywood movies and shows, and I like for a long time in my childhood, like I would watch like every Bollywood movie that ever came out. Like I was like a diehard like Shah Rukh Khan fan, like so into it and stuff, because like those were relatable for me. Those were like what I watched, and I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like I can relate to this way more than what I like the other stuff that's out there. And I know like for you, like you didn't watch Bollywood movies and stuff, so like that's why like for you especially, you were like, well, I don't want to associate being Indian because
there was like, never an accurate representation.
Yeah, because like also that's how kids saw us, and like we'd be made fun of. So it just, it's like a whole new kind of era that we're in now, which is like so neat to see. Like one of our favorite movies is like Bend It Like Beckham.
Yes. That was always our sleepover movie.
Yeah, it holds a really special place in our hearts because like we watched it so many times. But like I remembering like that being like the first like movie that was like Hollywood based that like represented a South Asian family like pretty accurately, and like in the way that like we weren't made fun of for like our culture, it was like accurately represented about how like things kind of are. And like it was like so nice and refreshing. I remember watching that and being like, wow, this is so cool that this is like categorized as a Hollywood film, and but like Indian people are in it.
Yeah, exactly. And it had so much of even like diversity in the way of like a white family getting to know the main character. And I remember her coach. I thought that was so cool because that coach was so attractive. And I was like, yeah. Oh my God, this Indian girl can like get the attention of her attractive coach. Like that kind of stuff. It was more inspiring. Like it wasn't like the one in most of the shows, it's like, oh, the really nerdy Indian girl that everyone makes fun of and no guys want. Like that was always the plot, that it was so cool to see it be different.
Yeah, I just actually thought of another, it's an HBO show, it's called like The Sex Lives of College Girls.
Mindy Kaling also produced that one. So yeah. Good.
That is also so good because it's about a group of like four girls like starting college, but like one of them is Indian, and the way that this Indian girl's represented is so good. She's like not stereotyped as like the nerd or whatever, and like she's kind of like the goofy one of like the friend group, but then also like the way that she's characterized also though is that she has strict Indian parents that like, expect her to be like pre-med in college or like all that stuff. And so it's like her navigating that. And I was like, wow, that's like another, again, like relatable thing for someone watching, being like, wow, like I'm like maybe struggling to like be myself more because I have strict parents and, you know, like navigating all of that. And so that's like another really good show I would recommend watching because I feel like the representation in that as well is like so great.
Yeah. And I wish almost like when we grew up, there were more shows like that, that even our peers could have been more educated on what our lives are like. Because I remember Ravisha and I would always talk about this in the way of like, people would tell us like, oh, but I mean, after we were 18, but like, oh, you're 18. Like, who cares what you do? You're an adult. Like you can do whatever you want. Like even in college. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like I'm like married now. And like, I don't feel like an adult. Like I still pick it up, make my own decisions. But you know, that's such a cultural thing of like, who cares? It's like, no, your parents, like you follow these rules, there are these customs. And you know, now with the next generations watching it, even people who aren't South Asian, like maybe we'll get less questions like that, because we'd always get questions like, well, you can do whatever you want, or like, why do you have to listen to what your parents want? And it's like, but that's not, you know, but at least people will see now that it is a cultural thing and it's not like something that's so weird.
Yeah, it's like how we've grown up is like we're taught to like really respect our parents or like our elders in general, and like, you know, talking back is like looked down upon and you can't really like disagree. And like that also is like changing in itself. Like, you know, it's like not as like strict, I think, as it was when we were growing up, because like we're now learning to have like more open conversations with our parents and stuff. But yeah, like for a while, right? Like like no one would understand how like our parents with our relationship is like really like not formal, but it's like, oh yeah, you can't like disagree with them and with some things, or like you kind of mostly have to listen to what they have to say.
Or like start a fight. And that's what I love with what like with Kamala and this season. And also like this is I'm not gonna spoil anything, but it does like say something about the season. So like for you to not watch, just warning. But how she sets boundaries, like how she's kind of like, this is what I want. But I can like holding both, right? Of like I can hold that there are these cultural expectations and that you have this mindset that is you can have that. And I'm also, I don't agree with that, and that doesn't align with what I want for my life, and I'm going to set a boundary. I'm choosing to not do that. Like, that was so powerful to see her doing, because that's really the struggle that all of us are in right now, like this next generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like one of those big things like we've talked about before is like the setting the boundary and how to do that when like you've grown up a different way and stuff. So like I'm so glad that like it's shown in that show. I also wanted to kind of highlight another show that we haven't mentioned yet that's on Netflix, Bridgerton. Like especially season two, like the two main characters that are like involved in the storyline are Indian. And first of all, so cool to see, because the way I think this is different than how I guess like Never Have I Ever is that like they kind of like loosely talk about how they're Indian, but like how it's like normal that they're like noble, or like, you know, they it's like they don't talk a lot about, they mention a lot of culture things, which is like really cool to see, but it's also like not a big part of the storyline. And I think that's like another cool way to look at it, is that like having an Indian person be a main character, like, and not having to explain why, really, like in the storyline, is really cool to see. And like those actresses are like did so great, and like how they like did sprinkle in some of the Indian culture stuff, but then also like made it seem like totally normal for them to be like Indian and like part of this show.
Yeah. Didn't they have the aspect? I haven't watched it, but I had people talking to me about it, bringing things up, like that there was like a Haldi scene and all this kind of stuff. That's so cool that they were just like incorporating these elements of what culture is like, and so it can be also seen as this normal thing.
Yeah, because like, I mean, if you haven't watched Bridgerton or you don't know much about it, it's kind of like based on like way back when like, you know, during like finding or like wedding season, I would say they like hire like noble parties with like scout people to marry. And, you know, you would think of it as like a very white process, and like it definitely was, right? Like if we think about like those times, but like how they like, yeah, it did include like the Haldi ceremony or like small elements of like some Indian culture was very neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it also like shows people just like more about our culture. And then maybe it also opens the opportunity for people to ask questions about it. Because it can be like, oh, I saw this scene about XYZ. Like, is that something you do? And, you know, having that, because it can sometimes feel, at least I feel this from my end at times, that it can be like so much explaining to people that I just like don't want to get into it sometimes, because it's just like doing that heavy lifting can be tiring. But it's like when people already have, maybe even if it's like this elementary idea of what we do, it can have a really big impact on how we even form those kind of conversations.
Definitely. Like, it's almost like it's like setting the scene, and then the people around you, like, do you have questions about it? Like, and they feel comfortable to ask you, like, at least you know where it's coming from. It's like not coming from like a bad spot, but more of just like curiosity. And I would rather answer something when it's for curiosity rather than when it's like, oh, that's weird. Like, why do you do that? You know?
Yeah. I love that there's more representation now about Indian weddings happening too in the media. And that's like comes, I guess, with also we can discuss like slightly like Indian matchmaking. I didn't watch the wedding season. We actually are going to get takeout like after we do our recording, and we don't have anything to watch. I mean, we actually have to finish. I have to finish Never Have I Ever, and then we're also almost done with Ozark. So it's not like we have nothing to watch. But I've been hearing about that movie, and today might be like a perfect like movie night kind of wind down the week. So maybe I'll watch that. But it also with Indian weddings, it has people learn more about it, because I remember before I used to hear, and I know that it was likely never from an insensitive place, but people being like, oh my God, that's so weird. Like, why do you have like a week long of weddings? Or like, oh, Indian people are so extra. Like, I want to have such big weddings and so long, like blah, blah, blah. When it's like, no, but there's also a lot of like beauty and history and culture that goes into it. It's not like we're just like wanting to have 3 days about us, you know, but there's like customs. But it's like now with these shows about weddings, people can familiarize themselves more, and it can take away some of that stigma and shame around it.
Yeah. Like, because I'm like you said, like it's so hard to explain the events, because like most of the time too, like growing up, it was like, oh, this is just how it is. And like, yeah. And like, you kind of like accept that, like, this is like our culture and like what we do. But like when someone is like kind of coming at you and like not knowing that information, and like, you almost feel like, I don't know, sometimes attacked, right? Like, wow, like, why do you just spend like 5 days like celebrating like someone getting married? That makes no sense. But like, for us, the reason why there are so many events and stuff, it's because like each thing is ceremonial, and it means something. And it's not just a party like everyone thinks, but it's actually like, there's certain things that are happening on each day. But to go, I did watch the wedding season. So to kind of like talk about that a little bit, is that it's a great movie, very lighthearted. But yeah, I feel like it was a really good representation of like weddings in general, because like they did show multiple weddings, and like each one was a little different. But then also like the basis of the storyline is like, this like 20 something is like being pressured to like find someone to get married, because it's like what her parents think is like the right next step to do, and like what would make her happy. And I think a lot of people can kind of like relate to that, because like, I mean, even myself, this past weekend, my mom like literally gave me like a lecture on how like it's kind of time to find someone to marry. But it's just because,
a quick advertisement, if there's anyone single, Rabisha said the other day, you know, within,
I really think you're like every episode you're just trying to like sell me off. God,
if you like have roots in like New Jersey, New York,
right? So moving along, but yeah, like this movie kind of showcases how like she like struggles, like kind of explain to her family that like marriage is like not like the next step for everyone, and like why it doesn't have to be that way. But then it like did it in a way where it's like, again, relatable. People can watch it and like understand. You'll like laugh, cry, like all those things. Like, that's why I really enjoyed it as well, and like wanted to include that, because like it's, again, like something like people don't understand, like how much like weddings in Indian culture mean to everyone, and how like even for me, like I attended so many weddings this year, but like, and they're all close friends, but like how sometimes like I remember as a kid too, sometimes like we used to like go to someone's wedding and I would barely know the people getting married, but it was like, oh, because like our parents know them like through some like other person, and like that kind of thing too. Yeah. Like, I remember, Divya, when you had to like figure out your guest list for your wedding, there was like so many people you were like, who are they and why are they invited?
Yeah, I was kind of like, I don't know who this person is, but okay. And it's like, no, but they invited us to their son's wedding 7 years ago, and it's like, but do we even know that? It's like, what is going on?
Yeah,
it was like always something like that. But right, it's like cultural. And honestly, yeah, like even because we got married like more around, I guess, I mean, it is still COVID, but that was like more of the peak of things. So not the peak, it was actually a good time. It was May 2021. Anyways, but we had a restriction. So if we didn't, our wedding would have probably been like over 400 people, which is like typically like kind of a typical number for an Indian wedding. But, you know, I'm sure people would have still been like, oh my gosh, that's wild.
I know, it's crazy. And then like even like a lot of people I know like watch Indian Matchmaking, which I've only watched a little bit of the first season. Like I don't think I really got into it as much, but like people on like even like American celebrities are posting about it, which is like so like cool to see, because I'm like, oh my god, that like anyone can watch Indian matchmaking and like enjoy it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, even with watching, and the thing that's cool about Indian matchmaking is it does have like it's not actors and actresses, it's like actually like people around. I mean, it was around the world, because I watched the first season, I haven't watched the second one yet, but there was one, Nadia, who actually lives in New Jersey, so I thought that was so cool. So it is kind of relatable in that kind of a way. Mm-hmm. But it's so fun. I mean, it's so funny because you see so many different dynamics. It's just like it shows so much about culture, but it's also just like humorous to see like Seema Aunty's antics. But she is like the typical Indian auntie of like, this is what you need to do to get married, like this is how you can like, for us, you know, would get a man to like you, like things that we were literally told, like, oh, do this and a man will like you. And it's like, yeah. Really, like, will they? And that was just like Seema Aunty. So anything that, so she, it's relatable for us because she kind of like represents those aunties that like say things to us that, you know, when you like brush it off, but she is that auntie.
That's so funny. So yeah, I think we've kind of like said a lot in this episode in general. I think like I am pretty passionate about talking about this stuff. Representation is important. Yeah. And like also like I think like another big thing that like we wanted to make like a key point is that like when diversity is accurately portrayed, it promotes authenticity, and that like true representation does not mean to be involved or included, but like when you're accurately portrayed, like your culture is accurately portrayed, like you see yourself represented then and feel more like, I think, involved, and like it seems more relatable and stuff. And like, so that's what we've been seeing in the past couple of years, really, that like that representation is accurately portrayed, and like we love to see it.
And that representation is so healing too in our own identity journeys. And then, no, it definitely has been for me. And I can see that for so many other people also who have been touched by these shows, because there's so many shows too and movies that have come out in like even the last 5 years that are centered around either not only South Asians, but other Asian cultures, and even expanding further from that, like anything that's not like this typical like white family, white picket fence, like four people, two parents that are married, and then one boy, one girl, like that used to be like this typical like quote-unquote American dream family, but just we've been seeing so much of that branching out, and that can be healing for so many people, and being able to feel more comfortable with their own identity and like their own culture too.
Yeah, and it's like very cool to see that, like you see that in so many different movies today, like, you know, even like for a big Marvel movie, like Black Panther was like such a big movie that they did, and like they recently I think like have like an Kumail Nanjiani or as a Marvel character as well, which is like, you know, Marvel is such a big franchise, and like you would have never thought like an Indian person would be part of Marvel, and so that's really cool to see. Like Divya said, like other cultures also being more like accurately represented, like Asian cultures, like you see movies like Crazy Rich Asians or like that Disney movie Turning Red. It's very cool to see that like these cultures, like a lot of people are feeling more comfortable to like make this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it definitely is so great because we can have those conversations with each other. And then also like our friends have conversations about it, and then it can just like, it's just going to have like a ripple effect. That's how I think of these, like seriously having a domino effect from like our generation, all the future generations. And honestly, it's also connected us to the past generations, because for us with Never Have I Ever, we actually watched it with Raj's parents, and we had so many conversations around it. So even if you think about it that way, like you can watch it with your relatives, and like my aunt and I yesterday were texting about Indian matchmaking, and so you know, it's like keeps this conversation going, not only for like us and the generations to follow, I think I really highlighted that, but also kind of has this way to talk about it with the previous generations too.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Like when you're watching them, like it's like we talk to our parents and stuff about them and like what's like happening, and I think that's like you're I don't think, or maybe they do, like the creator, like the executive producers or like the actors and actresses of the show, like I don't know if they're realizing how many like doors of conversations that like this stuff opens up to, you know, like it's like so cool to think about.
Yeah, it really is cool, and I'm glad that we're able to be part of this kind of change. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, like again, like Divya said earlier, like that's why we're even like had started to even think of like a podcast, like creating one and stuff, because we're like, why not, like two Indian best friends, like You have a lot to say.
And that the fact that people are like listening to these conversations now. And the reason for that too is like more of like the openness and awareness. I really attribute it to so many of these things in the media. So I think that it is really important for us to give that shout out, give that highlight today. And then also to like think, obviously I don't see people like Mindy Kaling. I would love if Mindy Kaling or like Lily Singh or Hasan Minhaj or like listen to our podcast. But like, thank you so much to all those people, because just like them showing up, because even thinking about it, I don't know their struggles, but like being in very predominantly white spaces is so difficult regardless. And they've taken so many of those steps, and, you know, their bravery has just been inspiring and healing for all of us. So it's like a very big thank you to them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to think about how many like barriers they have like crossed, you know, to get where they are. Like, I think like an OG person in Hollywood is like Cal Penn, and he was on Dax Shepard's podcast, The Armchair Expert, like a couple years ago. And I just remember like this one thing from that episode when I listened to it, was like how he talked about in auditions, like he literally had to like constantly do an Indian accent, or like those were the only like auditions he was getting for like the longest time. And like he was like, I'm pretty sure born here and stuff, like didn't have an Indian accent or whatever, but like, because he wanted to be in Hollywood and like be an actor, like the only way he could get roles was to like misaccurately represent our culture. And to think where we've come from then to now, like people like him, it's like because of that, like because they keep persisted and like they like, did what they needed to do to like really make sure that like, you know, we were accurately represented.
That's so, I mean, that's so great. Cause I mean, even thinking about it in that way, that has to be so hard going through that journey, but then really just keeping it with the intention too of like, there's so many lives that can be touched. So, you know, even thinking in a reminder that our own bravery and stepping out of our comfort zones and leaning into representation, even though it can feel like you're breaking barriers at first, has like this ripple effect, and it's impacting more than just the here and now.
Yeah, definitely. So on that note,
we're wrapping this episode up because I want to watch this.
I know.
Now that we're talking about it, I'm like, okay, we put some really good things in this episode, but I want to go and watch the movie.
I get it. And it's Sunday night, you know, you want to go enjoy your evening.
And then we can, like, I can have more to talk about that that movie. And now you need to go watch Indian Matchmaking. And also would love to hear if any of you have watched Never Have Ever, Indian Matchmaking, Wedding Season, right? Like any of those, to let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, share with us like your thoughts and stuff, or if you also had like the same conversations and stuff, like what you talked about with your friends, we'd love to hear that.
All right,
bye guys, thanks for listening. All right,
bye, see you next week.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account @conversationsbrewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast and continue to tune in weekly.
We so appreciate your support, and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.